You know, stand with us and turn to number 60. Number 60. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bow down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When years of time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Could we within the ocean feel and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song.
I ask an interest in your prayers today. I have a message that's very much bearing upon my heart this morning, and I ask you to pray that the Lord will help me to deliver it. There's something I believe, strongly believe about preaching, and that is if it's going to be effective in people's hearts, the Spirit of God has to be in it. And so I'm thankful that the Lord, through His Holy Spirit, I'm thankful that He will empower His Word. And I look to Him to do that here today. I want to read from a book in the Old Testament. I want to read about a man that I would not set before anybody today as a good example. But he was human, and we today are just as human as he was. And his name was Jonah. And I want to read today a few verses from the third chapter of the book of Jonah. If you'd like to read with me, please turn to Jonah chapter 3. And I want to begin reading there with verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great journey, or great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. And that's reading the 10 verses that make up the third chapter of the book of Jonah. The title of my message today will be Preaching God's Message. That's what God wanted Jonah to do. He wanted him to go to Nineveh and not to preach something that he desired to preach or something that he wanted those Gentile people to hear, but he wanted him to go there and to proclaim his message, to proclaim the message that God wanted them to hear. And I want to talk today about the importance of preaching God's message. I want to talk just for a moment about some of the things that we hear at Fairview Memorial, and I believe that the Lord's church down through the ages of time have believed. And that is that in order to be a member of the Lord's church, there is something that is required of all of us. There is something that we must experience, something that must qualify us to be a member of the Lord's church. And that is, and we practice this yet today, that whoever desires to be a member of the church must be able to give account, to give testimony, to relate an experience of passing from death unto life, from nature to grace, having been saved by God's grace. We require that. The church, all the years of her existence, has required that. John the Baptist, in the very beginning, required that of those that came to his baptism, that they were able to bring forth fruits meet for repentance. We believe that yet today. Another thing that the Lord's church has believed through the years is that those that preach the gospel, those that will be recognized among the Lord's church as preachers must be called of God. It's not something that we choose ourselves, and you know, we can't choose that any more than, not rightfully anyway, we can't rightfully choose that any more than a person can just decide to accept the Lord and be saved. It doesn't work that way. God calls men to preach. That's scriptural. That's biblical. And we have many examples of that. And that there again is something else that we have believed and practiced. If you want to be recognized as a preacher among the Lord's church, you're going to have to be able to relate the experience. You're going to have to be able to give an account of God calling you into the ministry. Those are the ones that God would have to preach His word. And for those that have been called to preach, it is imperative. It is of extreme importance. I mean, it is really important to the cause of God that we are found preaching what the Lord would have us to preach. You see, I believe that the Bible teaches this as well. Not only does God call men into the ministry, and I specify that, the operative word being men, God calls men into the ministry. Now, you're welcome to believe what you want, but I just don't believe that God calls women to preach. That's just not scriptural. God calls men into the ministry. And not only does He do that, but those whom He calls, it's apparent to me that as they go out and preach, that God would have us to preach what He would instruct us to preach. That's what He told Jonah here. And to me, as I said, that is of extreme importance. And the cause of Christ will suffer without that. If there were no men that were willing to preach what God instructed them to preach, then I promise you that the cause of Christ would greatly suffer because of it. God can look out today on this congregation. God can not only see our faces here today, but God can look out on this congregation and He can see our very hearts. And I want to encourage today my preacher brothers. I want to encourage you in this message today to be willing servants. It won't always be easy. In fact, a lot of times it's not easy. Those today that stand for the truth, and I believe this goes for whether somebody is a preacher or not. If you're a child of God and you're really willing to do the Lord's work, you're really willing to make a stand in this world and be counted on the Lord's side, you're going to suffer persecution even yet today. You may not be tied to a stake. You may not be burned alive. You may not be physically beaten, but you're going to suffer persecution for the truth. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's people today in the world, just as much as there always have been those in the world, that will not receive the truth. They will hate you for the truth. You preach something that bothers people and they will become angry, and many of them will hate you because of that. They hated Jesus. And you know what He said? If the world hated me, they'll hate you too. And they will. But it's important that we gird up our loins the way that God told Jeremiah to. That He told Jeremiah, He said, I want you to gird up your loins and I want you to go and I want you to take to the people the message that I send you with. God calls men to preach, and he sends them forth for that purpose. In this mess, or in the scriptures that I read, God had a message that he wanted the Ninevites to hear. He wanted the people of Nineveh to hear the message. And we know the story of Jonah. We're all very familiar with how that the Lord had called upon Jonah to go there and to preach to them, and Jonah didn't want to do it. Listen, brethren, sometimes, and I know that if you've preached very long at all, you've already experienced this. You're not going to want to preach at times what God sends you to preach, but we need to preach it. And you're going to suffer the consequences if you don't. And so Jonah did not want to preach what God was sending him to preach, and he tried to get away from it, and he tried to get on board a ship and run the other way, but he couldn't get away from God, and God punished him for what he did. And where I read here from the third chapter, when all that was said and done, God still wanted him to go there to Nineveh and to declare his message unto those people. I don't know, to be honest with you, I don't know what all brought about Jonah's reluctancy. I know that he was a Hebrew preacher. I know that the people of Nineveh were Gentile people. I don't know if that was the reason that he didn't want to go. I don't know what all it was, but I know that he tried to run away from God. And you know, God just doesn't accept excuses. He doesn't. When he wanted Moses to go, when God wanted to send Moses there to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let Israel go, that they might come and worship him, Moses began to make excuses before God about having a stammering tongue and how that he wasn't of eloquent speech. But you know what? When God called upon Moses for that very task, he already knew Moses' infirmities. And listen, we can make all sorts of excuses before God, but God knew what you were when he called you. God knew if you had problems with speech or whatever it was, God already knew it when he called upon you. And Moses tried to use that to get out of it. He tried to use it for an excuse. In fact, he argued with the Lord and he made excuses before God until God became downright angered at Moses. A lot of people today, I'm afraid, don't understand that concept of God. I'll tell you what, friends, we can make God angry. There's many scriptures in the Bible that talks about the anger of the Lord being kindled against people, being kindled against his own people. And God just doesn't accept our excuses. We need to do that which God tells us to do. And so God sent Jonah there to preach his message unto the people. I said that God calls men, and I don't want to make that statement without giving proof. I made note of some scriptures. If you look in Matthew chapter 3, verses 18 through 21, you'll see where Jesus, walking there by Galilee, on the shores of Galilee there, you'll see where Jesus began to call the apostles. He called James and John. He called Simon and Andrew. Those men were there. They were on the ships with their father. James and John, I believe it was, it talks about them being there mending the nets. And they were there pursuing their livelihood. They were fishermen. And Jesus passed by them there, and he spoke to them, and he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. If you look in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, in verse 1, you'll see where Jesus there passed by the receipt of custom, and he called Matthew to come and to follow him. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, said, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. You see, Paul gave credit to God. He gave credit to the Lord for placing him or putting him into the ministry. God did the same thing with his prophets. Those that in the Old Testament time that we read of as prophets, they were called by God for that purpose. They were called to be prophets. Jonah was a prophet. Jonah had a calling from God. Jeremiah had a calling. If you read the first chapter of Jeremiah, verse 5, you'll find there that God even said that when Jeremiah was yet in the womb, that he ordained him a prophet unto the nations. God called Samuel, the great servant of God, Samuel. If you read the third chapter of 1 Samuel, there towards the end of that chapter, when the people recognized the fact that Samuel was established to be a prophet, if you read the third chapter of 1 Samuel, you'll find that Samuel had a calling from God to do what he was doing. He was called by God to be a prophet. And so Jonah was called of God. I've thought about this a lot. Noah, the Bible talks about Noah having been a preacher of righteousness. And he preached and he built the ark for 120 years. You know, I don't think I'm going to have to preach that long. I've really got my doubts that I'll have a 120-year ministry. Noah preached to those people all the while that the ark was being built. Now, here's what I really wanted to speak about today. Preaching God's message. You see, God didn't have something pleasant. He really didn't have a pleasant message for Jonah to take to Nineveh. Sometimes I'm afraid of what we would like to hear. Amen? I mean, Paul instructed Timothy to preach the word. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. You know what the world wants to hear today? They want to hear that will tickle their ears, and they've got plenty of men that will pose as preachers, and that's exactly what they'll do. They'll get up before thousands of people and they'll tickle their ears, and before they're finished, they'll have themselves feeling so good about themselves and about each other. I mean, they'll give them a warm, fuzzy feeling inside, and they'll go away and they'll think that everything is all right. But friends, I want to tell you something. Everything is not all right with this world. It's not okay. And they're deceiving people by the thousands. This world is headed for certain destruction. You see, God sent Jonah to Nineveh to warn them of impending doom. People today say, oh, I don't like to hear those doom and gloom sermons. But you know what? The Bible is filled with them. The Bible is filled with those times when God sent a man of God to somebody to tell them that judgment is coming, that certain destruction is coming, that you better get ready to face it. And that's exactly what he was doing when he sent Jonah down there to Nineveh. Jonah's message to them, the text of the message anyway, I don't know what all Jonah may have said. There may have been things that was said that God didn't find it necessary to be recorded. But we do know what the text of the message was. It consisted of about 8 words. Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. God said, Jonah, I want you to go down there and I want you to warn those people. I want you to sound the trumpet. I want you to go and tell them that I'm going to bring destruction upon them because of their wickedness. I want you, if you go back to the first chapter of Jonah, you'll find that God told him, go down there and cry against those people because of their great wickedness. I'll tell you what, we live in a world of wickedness. The world that we live in today is filled with wickedness. And God has never rewarded wickedness. And he won't today. But I'll tell you what he has done. He has punished sin. God has punished sin. And he will still do that today. Jeremiah the prophet, as far as I'm concerned, he had a hard job. He had a difficult task. And I believe that's why God told him what he did. And that's why we find what we did there in the first couple of chapters of Jeremiah. How that God told him to gird up his loins and arise and go and speak to the people of the things that I have told you to speak. He told Jeremiah, he said, I have made thee today a defense city and brazen walls against the whole land of Judah. Don't be dismayed at their faces, lest I confound you before them. He was telling them, you go before these people and you stand and you look them right in the face. You look them right in the eye and don't you be dismayed by the way that they look at you. You just stand before them and you preach the truth to them because that's what they need to hear. Listen, friends, when destruction is on the way, when something is coming that's going to harm somebody, they don't need to hear about something that'll just make them feel good about themselves and go away feeling happy. The truth needs to be told. The truth needs to be preached. And that's exactly what he told Jeremiah to do. I want to read these verses from Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. Jeremiah spent many years of his prophecy warning the people of the destruction that was going to come from the Babylonians. In Jeremiah 4, 5 through 7, he said, declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land. Cry, gather together and say, assemble yourselves and let us go into the defensed cities. Set up the standard toward Zion. Retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. Listen to this. The lion is come up from his thicket. And the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy cities shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. What did God tell him to do? He told him to go to the people and tell them that that sudden and certain destruction is on the way. The lion has already left the thicket. The destroyer of the Gentiles is already on the way. And if you read there towards the end of the book of Jeremiah, it's obvious that they did not heed the warning. They did not listen to what Jeremiah had tried to tell them because Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, led his army against them and they did take them captive, and he did carry away the precious vessels of the house of God into Babylon, and the children of Israel found themselves in captivity there because of their own sin, and they spent 70 years in that place before God finally brought them out. And during that time, they were, I suppose, mocked and made fun of. Sing us one of the songs of Zion. Well, how are we going to sing it in a strange land? They were somewhere they didn't need to be. They needed to be in their own land. They needed to be in the place that God had given them, but they were there because of their disobedience to the Lord. And God let them go into captivity because of what they had done. But Jeremiah was sent to warn them. I'll tell you what, friends, there's warnings today that need to go out. There's a great warning today, as far as I'm concerned. There's a great warning today that needs to go out to the Lord's church. We need to get rid of some baggage. We need to get rid of some things today that have crept in among us that are hurting us. They're harming us. We need to get rid of this love for the world that we have allowed to creep in among us. You can believe it or not believe it. I believe it's true. I believe that we have allowed the temporal things of this life and the love for the temporal things of this life to come in among us in a way that we never should have. I want to sound the trumpet today before you and tell you that we need to get rid of some things. We need to get rid of this idea that that all the Lord has for us to do is to spend an hour or two a week coming to church. He's got a lot more for us to do than that. God's got work for us to do out in this world. You know, it's not that hard, especially in the day that we live in. It's not that hard to get up, to wake up in an air-conditioned or a heated house, to go get in an air-conditioned or a heated car, to drive 15 minutes or an hour, whatever it takes you, to come in and sit down on padded seats in an air-conditioned or a heated house and sit there for an hour or an hour and a half and listen to the preacher. That's not that hard, is it? But you know what? I'm afraid sometimes that we do that and we go away thinking, well, we've done God a great service. I'll tell you, God's got more for us to do than that. He left us here in the world to be witnesses for Him, and we need to be that. When we leave here, when we come together and we worship and we leave here, we need to realize and remember that we're entering the mission field out there, and God's got plenty of work for us to do out there. And I'll tell you what, friends, those of us as the Lord's church, there's a great warning that needs to go out to the people. I'm telling you, destruction is on the way. The lion has left the thicket. And the destroyer is coming, and destruction is on the way. You know, Noah preached, as I said, he preached for 120 years. God told Noah to build that ark because there was a flood that was going to come, and to warn the people, and he preached to those people, and at the end of 120 years, they had not believed the message. They had not believed the warning, because when the time came that the fountains of the deep were broken up and the rain began to fall down from above, it was only Noah and his family that was ready to go into the ark. They didn't believe him. They didn't believe him. Thank God that Nineveh did. And I want you to see this. In the New Testament, Jesus said that the generation that he was among, he said Nineveh was going to rise up in the judgment against them and condemn them. You know why? Because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And he said, behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Nineveh repented at the preaching of Jonah. You have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And Nineveh is going to rise up in the judgment against you. And they're going to condemn this generation. But listen, they repented at the preaching of Jonah. Yes, they did that. They repented at the preaching of Jonah. But if you read what we have read here in this third chapter of Jonah, the Bible tells us there that when Jonah preached that message and that warning to those people, that it wasn't Jonah they believed, it was God. They believed God. I'm trying to get you today to believe God, because God is the one that's going to bring this destruction. He's going to bring it, friends. It's coming. Just as sure as anything, it's coming. Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. They'll be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. That's what they were doing in the days of Noah. He said they were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying, and they were given in marriage, and they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Well, why didn't they? Why didn't they know? It had been preached to them for 120 years. Why did they not know that it was coming? Because they didn't listen. They didn't believe it. Friends, I'll tell you, the world we live in today, you may have great hopes for it. You may be here today and you may be lost and in your sins, and you may have great hopes of the future, and you may have great hopes of your life here in this world. You may have things planned out there in the future, but I'm here today to deliver this message to you and to tell you that this world that we're living in is set for destruction. It's not going to last. God's going to destroy it. Will you believe that today? You know what? He may come today. He may come tomorrow. I don't know when he's coming. No man knows when he's coming, but he is coming. And Peter said it's going to be such that the elements are going to melt with a fervent heat. I want to tell you something. If you're here today and you're lost and you're without God, you are living in a dangerous world. You're living in a world that's set on a course of destruction. The people of Nineveh repented. They repented. I mean, that king, I can almost envision that message, that God empowered that message, and it affected them so much that the king himself came down off of his throne, put on the sackcloth, commanded all the people there to repent. Friends, listen, God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. And if you don't do it, you're going to perish. That's the truth. Jesus himself made it that plain. Except ye repent, you shall perish. If you're not ready in the day of God's wrath, you're going to perish. Those that were not ready, those that were not ready to enter into the ark when the rain began to come, they perished. They perished in the floods. Those that have not made their preparation when the day of the Lord comes, when the Lord comes back in the clouds of glory and rains his wrath down upon this world, if you're not ready, you're not ever going to be ready. Destruction is on the way. If you don't live to see it, and you may not, either way, you're going to have to face the Lord. Lost friend, listen to me today. You can sit here and you can shun the message. You know what? If you choose to do that, God will let you do it. I certainly don't advise it, and neither does God, but he will let you if that's what you choose. You can sit here today and you can shun the message. You can sit here today and you can let the devil give you all kinds of excuses. You can let the devil tell you all sorts of lies today. And you can let him convince you that there'll be another time. Surely God won't come back today. Surely the Lord won't make his return today. Surely today won't be the day that destruction comes. Well, you don't know that, and I don't either. I do know this, that today's the day of salvation, that now's the accepted time, that God has given you this opportunity today to come and to seek him and to be saved. Some believed it. Some through the years have believed it. And some haven't believed it. There's going to be people, just like there was in the days when the flood came. I'll tell you what, when the rains begin to fall, when the waters begin to rise up from underneath and begin to float that ark, when God himself had shut the door of that ark, there were people around it that knew it was too late. They knew they had waited too late. If you're here today and you're lost, I want to tell you there's nothing to be waiting for. You need to seek the Lord and you need to be ready because destruction is coming. I'll tell you what, it's on the way. It's on the way. Let's stand and have a song.